Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the day after the spring primary election in the great state of Wisconsin. Dom, how you doing, man?
I'm great, man. I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Happier happy hour.
Yeah, right. Janet Protasiewicz, the judge here in Wisconsin, the Democrat, now Democrat-endorsed judge, just whooping ass here in the primary yesterday. And, of course, my Senate District 8, Jody, unopposed, but we found out who she's going to be facing. I'm looking forward, man. It's going to be a sprint to April, and everyone needs to be engaged, man. So I'm pretty pumped up right now.
As am I. I didn't think Janet Protasiewicz would run away and hide with it last night. She had more votes than both of the conservatives combined.
Well, that and combined with the turnout rate, and granted, you know, 21.6% sounds low, but that's actually an historic high for a spring primary here in the state of Wisconsin.
Record breaking.
I mean, literally. And so what does that mean? Engagement is up, and is it rightfully should be when we're, you know, surrounded by these mega insurrectionists, anti-abortion, these folks, and of course Dan Kelly, the conservative running for Wisconsin Supreme Court, he's fine with the way the maps are gerrymandered here in the state of Wisconsin. He wouldn't touch those. So these are major issues. And as a former independent until the righties got all wackadoodle, what I want is a level playing field, man. Fair maps. If you think you got better ideas and better candidates, we should be on a level playing field. But they don't. And so I'm looking forward to something, some lawsuit, somehow, some way. If Protasiewicz can pull it out and we can bring some law, we might be able to have some actual fair representation here in the state of Wisconsin. It's a long, long time coming.
I'm kind of banking on it, Dom. And I hate to linger on the backyard Wisconsin politics, but politicking's about elections, right? And we're the only place in the nation that had an election yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you're listening from somewhere else, this is important stuff.
Come on, man. New York Times, Washington Post, The Hill. Everyone's writing this up because this is a big deal. And to reiterate, record turnout in the state of Wisconsin, that says a lot.
I hope it portends a glorious victory for our earlier guest, Janet Protasiewicz. And if you missed it, find the podcast at the civicmedia.us. Go to the show page. I know you'd be tempted to look under greatest radio show ever, but try us there at the Devil's Advocates. They haven't seen the wisdom to, you know, tagging us under both.
Greatest radio show ever, trademark. Also, Crudy, other news.
Yes.
We got to get to the national stuff.
We'll get there.
All right. You got something else you want to throw
out? I do.
All right. What do you got?
Well, you talked about the issues. The issues before the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Abortion, gerrymandering, yeah.
Those are the two big ones. In fact, they captured the headline. Our friend Jesse Apoyan over at the Cap Times. Abortion, redistricting loom large over Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Because effectively, one candidate determines whether or not we're going to have abortive rights in the state of Wisconsin. We're currently under an 1849 law that effectively makes abortion all but illegal under any circumstance except the life of the mother. No exceptions for rape or incest. And being a little moderate here in the state of Wisconsin, according to Republicans, is throwing the women a bone of maybe allowing exceptions for rape or incest.
If you're lucky, and we get something else in return.
And of course,
and women, of course, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson tells you women, if you don't like it, you can leave. That's the Republican. That's the MAGA attitude towards your rights. How do you vote for that? Any woman.
Well, he also pointed out it's going to be a little messy, Dom, here in the state of
Wisconsin. Is that what it is? It's just a little messy? That's a nice way to put it.
The thing that has made the state of Wisconsin messy and so polarized is the gerrymandering.
The maps,
and this is not a recent advent. The Republicans got swept in 2010. The Tea Party taxed enough already. They astroturfed. They went all in on hating on Obamacare. I would still take note of the fact Obamacare is the law of the land to this day. Still provides health care for many of my friends.
Wait, they didn't repeal and replace it with something
better? No, never did.
Oh, never did.
Never got around to it.
I thought that was something that Trump was working on. Like 2 weeks is coming out.
No, but it worked out well as a social wedge issue that helped Republicans win control here in the state of Wisconsin. All three houses. And they have the Supreme Court, which has rubber stamped so much of the crap Scott Walker, the former governor here, would pass through in many ways. So many of the lawsuits were, not the lawsuits, but the actual pieces of legislation.
The laws themselves.
Would go in contrast to the existing, let's call it Constitution. And yet the Supreme Court would find any partisan rationale to rubber stamp. It was as much as a 5-2 partisan advantage on that court. Now it comes down to perhaps one vote that swings the entire next 10 years in the state of Wisconsin. And I don't overhype that. It is literally the time frame of the maps we're currently under. Because the 10-year maps cast by Walker and Fitzgerald and the other Fitzgerald, his brother, you know, two Assembly Speaker Fitzgerald and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald and the Wanker, they were quite the Holy Trinity, those three. But the redistricting has been baked into the cake for another decade. The very same Wisconsin Supreme Court, where we're now contesting the balance, the soul, said you must take the old maps and make the least number of changes possible. And damn it, that's the law of the land. And Governor Tony Evers did just that. And Republicans put forth their maps. And the governor, as is his constitutional right, vetoed their maps. And they took it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And the first time through, Hagedorn, the swing vote, the judicial independent, if you will, Dom, he upheld. And then it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and effectively Hagedorn lost his spine, and he judicially overturned the veto of the governor and said, instead, we're back to using the worst-case scenario Republican maps.
The most gerrymandered, political gerrymandered maps in the history of the world is what we are living under right now in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's mathematically arguable, but they're pretty damn awful.
If you could point somewhere else anytime in history that are worse than what we have, I'd love to see it.
We got some friends listening on WCPT 820 AM in Illinois. Few conservatives down there might take issue to being on the wrong side of the gerrymander, but let me read a little from our friend Jesse Apoyan. The stage is set for April's high-profile Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and voters can expect abortion to play a prominent role in the contest that will determine ideological control of the court. You noted, I started there with Janet Protasiewicz, our recent guest. Milwaukee County Court Judge Janet Protasiewicz, a liberal, and former state Supreme Court Justice by appointment only, Dan Kelly, let's not forget the Republican wanker, had Prosser retire so he could turn Kelly into an incumbent, and Kelly still got his ass handed to him by the largest Supreme Court losing margin in my memory, Dom. I'm not saying in my lifetime, but my memory, 163,000 on the downside. Oof. Every other race in Wisconsin goes 5 to 20, maybe 30,000 votes. Tony Evers won an 89,000 vote landslide in the midterms. And Dan Kelly already lost by 163,000 votes once.
Ooh, when you say it like that, it sounds really, really bad.
Well, I hate to call him former state Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, a conservative, emerged from Tuesday's four-way primary. Protasiewicz led the way with about 46% of the vote. Kelly got 24%. I'd say not so shabby, but it's kind of shabby. Conservative Waukesha County Circuit Judge Jennifer Doro trailed Kelly by 2 points. That means she got 22. Everett Mitchell, a distant fourth. The April 4th general election could result in the state's high court flipping from a bat guano crazy conservative majority to a liberal majority that Crudy would prefer for the first time since 2008. And while that would open the doors to legal challenges on any number of decisions, from union rights, think Act 10, to redistricting, my preferred issue here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom, Wisconsin's 174-year-old abortion ban remains at the forefront of the campaign, much as it did in the November election. A challenge to the ban before a Dane County Circuit judge is expected to make its way to the state Supreme Court.
Oh, that's, it's already in process.
Oh, yeah. What, you don't think people are strategic, Tom? I know that you don't like to be strategic, but others.
I just don't like bad strategy, Crudy.
I'm not sure that there's going to be much oxygen in the room for anything beyond that, frankly. It just seems to be where the left has made its home in this race, as it did in the midterms, according to political science professor Ryan Owens. Now, Ryan Owens is a conservative and considered a run for, what, attorney general here in the state of Wisconsin, just so you know who Ryan is. Owens, an attorney who also teaches at UW Law School, ran for attorney general, said he expects the candidates will each try to paint their opponent as too radical, much like the November gubernatorial and U.S. Senate elections.
Yeah, but here's the big deal. The RNC, they were paying conservative Dan Kelly, right? Wisconsin GOP, they were paying. The dude was on the payroll, literally on the payroll. And if it's not bad enough, what was he on the payroll for? To help them figure out how to overturn the will of the people with election integrity, investigations, and advice, whatever the case is. I didn't hear Dan Kelly, who came in second and now will challenge Protasiewicz in April for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I didn't hear him bitching about how this election went for him last time. What's changed?
You know, you fault the man for taking $120,000 and apparently recommending a criminal fraudulent scheme. Some would call it seditious conspiracy against the U.S. Constitution.
Some have been convicted of such, yes.
You would hold that against him, Dom, but since he lost the Supreme Court race by 163,000 votes, most in my memory, Dukarovsky, hell, the man needed the money, Dom. He's doing it for the dues. Come back, more devils.
Shocking pay-to-play scheme.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us in the frivolity at 844-967-2789.
What frivolity?
This frivolity.
Well, I am feeling pretty good. Janet Protasiewicz outperformed last night. Voters outperformed last
night. And that's what I'm all about, man. I mean, if Everett Mitchell would have come out and won with, 46%, that'd be fine too. I'm super, super stoked and proud of our fellow citizens here in the state of Wisconsin to show up like they did. Like they've never showed up before. That's awesome, man. That is so encouraging. And I just and the flip side is 21.6% is pretty crappy. But it's the most we've ever had in this kind of election. So I'll take what I can get. I just hope it's a continual a trend of engagement here in the state of Wisconsin.
Dom, it absolutely will be. I mean, dude, if we've got a 35% increase over the record of 2020 when we cast our Supreme Court primary with a presidential primary, and we blew through that number by 35%, and Protasiewicz basically took her two opponents and beat them both combined, this was a great night for her campaign, for the state of Wisconsin, for the Democratic Party. And what this tells me, Dom, this will soon be a $60 million race. $60 million in the next 6 weeks. $10 million a week.
$60 million. Damn.
And they're all going to tell you, Protasiewicz sucks. No, Dan Kelly sucks. But here's what I would say. The electorate is not fooled. And if we had record voting by 35% in a spring primary, man, they are going to blow the doors off in the general election. Certainly the audience listening here on Civic Media to the Devil's Advocates radio show, I know that they're going to vote. I know that our audience votes, Dom. And I'm not trying to over-conflate here. You know, I realize this is a budding new radio Civic Media network. But I feel like an informed electorate, an activated and engaged electorate, certainly favors Team Blue in this case. Good luck with that.
No, in this case and over history, when we talked over the course of our show over the many years, we've referenced former Republicans back in the day saying, hey, you know, we don't want people to vote. We as being the Republicans, are better off when people are not engaged, when people don't show up. It's better for the Republicans. When people show up, the more people that show up, well, it's worse for the Republicans. That's why Republicans engage in voter suppression activities. I mean, come on, of course, they're willing to sacrifice, martyr some of their own voters if they can sacrifice a couple others voting for the other person.
Yeah, but when the Democrats are so engaged, when they blow it out of the water, when they break the records by 35%, and I have every expectation they're going to do far better in a well-informed general election race coming up in just like 6 short weeks, Don.
Wow, man, it's crazy.
Because the money's pouring in. The money's every ad on the TV, sadly. You know, the good thing is football season's done. You got a little spring trade of baseball and like the Masters coming in April.
Come on, man, March Madness. What are you talking about? We're right around the corner, brother.
Oh, that's so sad. It's so sad that March Madness will be besmirched with Dan Kelly ads. And Janet Protasiewicz ads. I prefer the latter candidate of the two, but it will be a far better informed electorate than it ever has been in a spring race prior.
Well, when you tell women of the state, number one, if you don't like it, you can leave, Senator Ron Johnson, and that you're second-class citizens, and you know you can maybe if you play ball with us, we'll allow you to have control over your own body, but only in the case of rape or incest. I mean, that's not a huge selling point. And it needs to be amplified over and over and over again. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we talk about Dan Kelly. Let's put this the other way. If Janet Protasiewicz happened to be on the payroll of the DNC or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, what do you think the Republicans would be screaming about right now? Oh, they'd be losing their frickin' mind. But it was Dan Kelly. And not only was he on the payroll, I got to reiterate, this guy was apparently involved in the false elector scheme and investigating election irregularities, whatever the hell that meant, above and beyond the other guy, Gableman, who we were also paying through Robin Voss in Wisconsin Assembly. I mean, this is what they are. This is what they do. So, I mean, number one, if it was the other way around, they would be freaking the F out. And number two, the subject matter of the advice was to overturn the will of the people in a democracy.
We strongly suspect by the actual actions of the fraudulent Trump electors, they carried through on the plan.
Yeah.
So we suspect the legal advice from Dan Kelly was not, no, don't do it. 844-967-2789. Do call the Devil's Advocates. Dick from Madison. Appreciate your patience, fella. How you doing?
Hey, Dick.
Real good. It was a great night last night, wouldn't you have to agree? To this Tucker Carlson thing with Kevin McCarthy dumping all this stuff, sadly...
Oh, the 40,000 hours of video surveillance, right, from the attack on the Capitol, yes.
Yeah, correct me where I'm wrong here. We're about a really good AV geek into turning in this into something that it really isn't, just like Bill Barr did with the Mueller report.
I mean, potentially, Dick, I mean, I don't know if there's going to be like a deep fake films or those kinds of things. And but I got to tell you, honestly, other than like providing, you know, the being able to discern safe houses and procedures in the Capitol, I think those kinds of things should be allowed to not be shown to the public. There's a reason for security for that. But above and beyond that, I'm down, man. Show it all. So what? We know what they did. Yep. We know exactly what they did.
Except that they will skew it and turn it into something that it really wasn't.
As opposed to what, Dick? As opposed to their, you know, their nuance up to this point? That's exactly what they do.
Well, that's true. But, you know, the whole thing in general comes down to just this. If we're really a democracy, after all, if a president can break the law, are we really a democracy?
Well, yeah, if they break the law, they got to be held to account. You know, yes, we are, but you have to question certainly some of our pillars of democracy, Dick. But the only way that stands, the only way we remain is to stay engaged and to fight for that democracy. We are the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a happier happy hour. The Hump Day Edition had a glorious primary in the state of Wisconsin yesterday. Janet Protasiewicz, she advanced. She crushed the second place finisher, Dan Kelly, who does get another crack at her in the general election. Just so you know history, Dan Kelly actually won a prior three-way primary, two liberal candidates, one conservative. Kelly passed through with over 50% and then got crushed in the general by Kurofsky. I like to bring that up. He's a soon-to-be two-time loser, Dom. I'm feeling ever more confident about the outcome of that race. And it's not, no offense to Protasiewicz, great job. She won big, you know. Kudos to her campaign so far. I really like the, don't know how to say her name ad, the Protasiewicz ad.
Yeah,
I mean, that was some clever stuff.
And it certainly helped me.
And the decision made by her campaign did not play coy. So many of these judicial candidates, they hide, you know, they don't want to get borked. So they don't tell us much or anything. You know, well, you know, that could come before the court, da, 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 da. Well, here's what Protasiewicz told the people of Wisconsin before the primary. The maps are rigged. She thinks Wisconsin women should have the right to abortion. And those are two very big issues. And Republicans, if you just look at the polling, they're very much on the wrong side of history on both of those issues. Not to mention Medicaid, legalized marijuana, a few others that don't affect this court race. But this court race could affect the makeup of the Wisconsin legislature. That's what I'll speak for myself, Dom. I hate to put words in your mouth again. I care a lot about recasting the maps in
yes.
a fair fashion.
As do I. I mean, I'm just looking for a fair fight. Because you're right. The Republicans and the megas, they lose on these issues. They lose on abortion. They lose on all sorts of issues. But we don't get an opportunity to have that legislatively discussed or passed because of the rigged maps. And now we're molded in this for another 10 years. And if this were to stay the same, that would be 20 years of underrepresentation. I mean, this is not a red state. At best, it's a purple state. And if we get fair maps, it'll probably be a blue state. That's why they did the maps the way they did.
Probably with recast maps, there would still be a modest Republican legislative majority because of the way the state is effectively splitting into rural and urban. So simply giving us fair maps does not mean that Democrats would automatically take over legislative majorities.
Sure, you still got to go earn it. You still got to go convince the voters.
And it would be tough, but in the wave elections, in the big victory blue elections, when Barack Obama cruises, perhaps when Tammy Baldwin's on the ticket in 2024, when Joe Biden's racking up a big reelected victory.
If Joe stays in the race.
Well, that's a different story for a different day.
Well, it's kind of important. I mean, if Joe decides not to, then it opens up a whole other can of worms.
Well, Tammy Baldwin has been a singular candidate in the state of Wisconsin, and Tammy Baldwin will be back on the ballot in 2024. And Tammy Baldwin will effectively be the top of the ticket. No gubernatorial race. Lots of Republicans that would like to be Tammy. They're not gonna. Tammy Baldwin beat a four-time elected Republican, very popular guy in Tommy Thompson, beat him by five. And that's a big margin in the state. And then in her reelective campaign, 2018, your girl, Leah Vukmir, a less popular candidate, got crushed double digits. Tammy beat her by 11, by over 100,000 votes.
And Dan Kelly, the conservative, lost by how many votes to Kurowski?
163,000. I know, we're talking about the enormity of Tammy Baldwin, this progressive lioness here in the great state of Wisconsin. Every indication is, A, she's got a war chest. She's geared up for a reelective campaign. B, she will be targeted. And I don't think it will be with any sort of success. I mean, if Ron Johnson, if the power of incumbency is so strong that Ron Johnson won re-election, I mean, I know the racist ads against Mandela, all that crap. But it's still Ron Johnson on the other side of the ticket, Tom. If that guy wins re-election, Tammy's going to win by 200,000 votes. At least I say. 844-967-2789. We got some national headlines. But right now, we got your calls, starting with Steven from Green Bay. How you doing, Steven? Thanks for your patience.
Hey, Mike and Tom. I'm about to bury Dan Kelly live on the Devil's Advocate Radio.
Do it!
And I'm going to do it very cleverly. I've been thinking about...
Oh, no! Steven! Wait. Steven, hold on. Try again. Go full steam into it, because we... dropped you there for a second, but now I think we got you.
Oh, okay. So what I'm going to say is that Dan Kelly is all about telling women that they have no choice over their own bodies. But what happens when said woman has the baby that Dan Kelly said that she had to have against her will? They're not for welfare programs to help the mother take care of the kid. They're not interested in, say, the woman needs housing, putting funding into that. So the pro-life movement that Dan Kelly stands for pretty much reduces to, I'm a white man, and I think that because I'm a white man, I should have 100% power over you as the lesser woman. But by the way, after you have the kid, I'm not helping you take care of the said kid that I forced you to have. That is the reality of Dan Kelly and the conservative movement and the pro-life movement. It's a bunch of malarkey, and it's really white men who want to control women, and it's disgusting, and I think I just smashed it.
I agree, and I would add this caveat, Stephen, to your very great point. It's not just white men thinking that or doing that in their own, you know, in their own circles, in their own environments. It's those white mega conservative men using the force of government to mandate that women produce the babies, to mandate forced government birthing. It's one thing to have the opinion. It's another thing to use the deep state, let's call it, Stephen. You know, the Republicans care very much about this kind of stuff, right? To use the force of law to mandate that women carry babies to term and then not give a damn about it. It's one thing to have a personal philosophy. It's entirely another to utilize the powers of the government to make that so, Stephen. And that's what they're doing. And it gets against every ideology they ever claim to hold.
Dan Kelly, and I found this article, Dom, because I was actually looking up, is Dan Kelly married? And he is. He has a wife, I believe, Elise. This article was published back February 13, 2023. And a question was asked of Dan Kelly, how would you approach abortion rights if the case comes before the court? Kelly, the key to this methodology is it is applicable to every case. So, my approach on that question will be the exact same approach that I've applied to every other question that comes before the court. And I would decide what's in the best interest of the Republican Party.
That's the methodology.
And rich white men like me. That's the methodology, Dom. He has a track record, for Christ's sake. We know what Dan Kelly stands for. Everything the Republican Party stands for, Dan says, put me down for two. A little bit more. His theory, his methodology, Dom, is to apply the law as it's written. So he's all down for the 1849 law. Not as we wish it to be, but as it's actually written. And then come to the conclusion that the law commands, and this is critically important, this has to do with the faithlessness to the Constitution and ultimately faithlessness to the people of Wisconsin. If there's a new law that we need, we'll ask our legislators to adopt the new law. No, you won't. You're just fine with the 1849 law, but I read on. And so Wisconsinites say just that one thing, to decide our cases according to the law, and do that in every single case that comes before the court. Do you believe him, Dom?
I believe that he would
say that.
Anything you can do to come up with it. You have the decision, and you work backwards from there, and try to find whatever justification that you want. I mean, that's what I believe. I don't think for a moment that an 1849 law should stand right now. I mean, this law was passed before women even had the right to vote. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how is that even possible? I mean, maybe if you had women's input on the laws that specifically and only impact women, that they might come to a different conclusion. But no, I mean, this is what it is. This is the megas. These are Dan Kelly and the Republicans' forced government birthing. And then good luck to you afterwards. Too bad, so sad. You know, I mean, hell, Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin, had put into his budget paid leave. Oh, you think the Republicans are going to go for that?
Well, hell to the no.
Hell to the no, man. No, they're not. So they don't want to support, as Stephen, our caller from Green Bay, and thank you for your input, they don't want to support the welfare, quote-unquote, programs for those that need it. They don't want to support paid leave. Hell, they don't want to raise the minimum wage. I mean, what exactly, what makes MAGA and Republicans pro-life? Other than forcing by threat of prosecution from the state and imprisonment, forcing you to give birth. I mean, what kind of twisted crap is this? 844-967-2789. Jack from the Mac, you're up. Welcome, Jack. What do you got for us?
Well, for one thing, I like the ad that you have that got Maggie Dawn on it that basically says you can't force Colorado bakery to bake a gay wedding cake, but you can force a woman to have a baby, and that makes
right.
no sense at all.
Right.
I agree 100% with that.
There's
something that's crazy about that. Kelly being a constitutional conservative, give me a break. For one thing, he clearly would overturn the 2020 election if he'd had the ability to do so.
Well, they had a plan. They just didn't execute it properly, Jack. They had a coup plan.
Well, yeah, and apparently he advised on that plan, Jack. So we must surmise,
and exactly. We
haven't asked him. And I look forward to his explanation as to how he earned the $120,000 the RNC and the Wisconsin GOP paid him and what advice he gave. That'd be nice. But, of course, he would turn that over in a heartbeat. That's what, you know, when you got to project it like that much, Jack, you know, when you got to say you're a genius, you're not a genius. You got to say you're a patriot, you're not a patriot. You know what I mean? When you overcompensate for the obvious lack of the thing you're overcompensating for, it kind of gives away the game. You know what I mean?
Pretty much. The other thing about the constitutionality, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I think, acted unconstitutionally when they overturned the governor's veto of the Republican-drawn gerrymandered maps. I mean, clearly, Evers had the constitutional legal power not to accept those maps, and the Supreme Court essentially said, no, we won't let you do that. We'll just give the Republicans what they want.
You know, I got to blame the U.S. Supreme Court, because Hagedorn was on the right side of history before the U.S. Supreme Court said find another ruling, and then he came down on the wrong side of history, and they effectively overturned the legislative veto of Governor Tony Evers. The newest Janet Protasiewicz ad, here's what it will say. Extremist Dan Kelly wants abortion banned, even in cases of rape, incest, and health of the mother. For years, Kelly was on the payroll of a radical anti-abortion group working to take away women's rights. On the court, Kelly will uphold Wisconsin's 1849 criminal abortion ban that strips women of their freedom to make personal decisions on abortion. Dan Kelly, an extremist who doesn't care about us. That's the newest from Team Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Just got the latest from their campaign. There's actually two they're dropping. That's the one I like best. Come back with us. Which devil do you like best? I know it's Crudy.
I doubt it.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
Ebone, you still lightly screening the calls back there? Keep at it, fella.
In between Megadeth, yeah, he'll find some time.
You know, I was wondering aloud in my own head, I guess that's quietly to myself, but I'll say it aloud for you in the audience. I'm like, what is this music?
Yeah, man. That's from we were in college. That's some old Megadeth, man.
How did I not recognize it in the first three bars? I can name that Megadeth tune in three notes. Dominic, I want to read this headline and a little of this article, the raw story version, the abbreviated.
All right.
Going for the jugular.
Oh, finally, we get to the national. This is what I'm talking about, baby.
Experts react as Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, Javanka they used to call him, right, Dom? They get hit with special counsel subpoenas.
Jack Smith, baby.
Going after Trump's favorite daughter. The Justice Department special counsel investigating Donald Trump's role in the attempts to overturn the 2020 presidential election and the ex-president's unlawful retention and refusal to return hundreds of classified and top-secret documents. Crudy calls those the paperwork crimes. Has issued subpoenas to Ivanka and Jared. That's going to sting. The New York Times reports as thus, Dom. The decision by the special counsel, Jack Smith, to subpoena Ms. Trump and Mr. Kushner. I always like how the New York Times, it's always Miss and Mr. So
proper.
Underscores how deeply into Mr. Trump's inner circle Mr. Smith is reaching and is the latest sign that no potential high-level witness is off limits. If they're going after a Ivanka, Dom, it could be Fredo next.
Listen, I applaud this move. I think as a prosecutor, you need to know the full scope of the story. You know what I'm saying? And if they have something that would exonerate Trump or something in that regard, then they should also provide that. A little bit from the actual reporting, Crudy, at the New York Times. Apparently, Ms. Trump was in the Oval Office on January 6th when her father placed a late-morning call to Mr. Pence to pressure him to block or delay congressional certification of the Electoral College results documenting Biden's victory. As president of the Senate, Pence, who rejected Trump's demands, was to serve a ceremonial role. Ms. Trump was also accompanied her father to the rally of his supporters at the Ellipse near the White House. Hundreds of his supporters moved to the Capitol, where they shouted, "Hang Mike Pence," for his refusal to do what Trump wished. She's a fact witness, man. If she's got something to say, one way or the other, they got to get, you know, the prosecutor Smith has to get the full story for and against in order to make a proper decision. So, yeah. And I also got to think on top of that, to finally get to Ivanka and Jared, I mean, there's very few people left in the inner circle once those two are tapped.
Dominic, a little bit more from the Roar story. Former U.S. attorney and former deputy assistant attorney general Harry Littman, who was already on MSNBC making an appearance as the news broke, observed Jack Smith was going for the jugular. MSNBC's legal panel analyst Lisa Rubin, responding to the news, observed, "Pence, Meadows, Jared, Ivanka, one of these people has an interesting constitutional defense, the others will likely find themselves in the grand jury at least once, and maybe, depending on the scope of their invocations of executive privilege, twice. Former top DOJ official Andrew Weissman, also an MSNBC legal analyst and on air at the time, called special counsel Jack Smith tenacious for subpoenaing Mr. and Mrs. Kushner, noting they were not being asked to appear for an interview, but for sworn grand jury testimony. That's kind of like under oath, Dom.
Yeah, a little different than an interview.
Here's what Weissman told MSNBC's Nicole Wallace. There's a wealth of information they could have about the fake elector scheme, Dom. When's Dan Kelly going to get a subpoena from Jack Smith? About putting pressure on the GOJ. Obviously, the pressure on Mike Pence. Indeed, it could even go into Mar-a-Lago because he couldn't deal with I'm sorry, this is not grammatical. They were told about how to retain or not retain documents. This isn't just about asking for them to come in for an interview. This is about asking them to come in and be in the grand jury. It shows that Jack Smith is really being tenacious. Usually, there are all sorts of accommodations that are made for people like this to be interviewed, to have their counsel present. But this is saying, no, like everyone in America, I'm entitled to everyone's testimony in the grand jury, and they're being treated just like everybody else.
Good. Good. They're being treated like you and I would be treated, Curdy, and that's exactly what we need.
Well, we'd already be in jail.
Oh,
in my case, again.
You got to catch me first, baby.
844-967-2789. If you see a sky blue Cadillac convertible heading south, I'll just wait till you run out of gas. They'll catch you. Pizza Box Mike, you never run out of gas, fella. How you doing, man?
Hey, Mike.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, why does Wisconsin suck? I mean, last week we confirmed again that we're the drunkest state. And then this week we confirmed that we're the most racist state. And all we got to do is just all white.
How so? Tell us why we're so racist, Michael.
Hey, we know we're drunk, but why are we racist?
Well, I mean, look at our courts. And look at the people that were saying Everett Mitchell should get out of the race. You know, yeah, we should all bow down to the big money person. I'm upset about it because it was about the money, and it is about the fact that people in this state we're worried about voting for Everett because they're afraid that we'll lose. You know, and every time that you're afraid that you lose, you vote for the wrong person. You know, why didn't Hillary get out when Bernie was kicking ass? Huh? Why does the big money have to dictate it to us? Why do the high-ass Democrats think they know more than the rest of us?
Pizza Box, if that is true, then explain the rationale of why all the rich-ass Democrats, including Alex Lazary, bailed out during the senatorial primary and allowed the black candidate to pass through in Mandela Barnes.
And that was wrong, too. I mean, you know how upset I was about that.
But it cannot.
Jumping out.
It can't be both.
It can't be both, Mike. Yeah. You know what I mean? Wisconsin is racist and that's why Everett Mitchell lost, then how do you also explain the fact that Mandela Barnes won the primary and how they cleared the decks for the guy?
Yes, they lost the primary. Everybody got out of the primary and went to Mandela. And you know what? I knew he was going to lose because Wisconsin's the racist state in the country.
Well, Michael, you know I love you, man, but I'm not sure if you made your case. Not today. Try again tomorrow. We'll do it again right here on the radio. We'll do a town hall style. We'll take all callers. My understanding is Janet Protasewicz taking all callers, sort of town hall style. Right now, 6 o'clock. Probably got to be a big Democratic Party donor or at least a little Democratic Party donor. You know, throw a few bucks. We encourage you to keep it locked right here.
Oh, hell, you just listen to the Devil's Advocates. Go check out the podcast. You can hear what Janet had to say on our interview from today. It's really easy. It doesn't cost you nothing.
We've got fine programming going on this evening. The Empowered Caregivers right here in Madison, WMDX. And don't forget, Native Roots Radio. Keep it locked. Civic Media. Janet Protasewicz on the podcast. She was quite.